called Under the Bethlehem Star. And you might be wondering, how does Ruth tie into the Christmas story? And so it's quite unique. The whole story of Ruth, we start in the country of Moab, but we end up in the city of Bethlehem. What do we know about the city of Bethlehem? Who was born there? Jesus. And so our theme is Under the Bethlehem Star. And so we've got the star of Bethlehem with us throughout this Advent season, and the rays of hope that come forth from that star. And so we see a foretaste in the town of Bethlehem in the days of Ruth and Naomi of what's to come. Now, where does Ruth and Naomi fall into the lineage of Jesus Christ? They're also part of that story because they are in the lineage of Jesus Christ as well. And so we're going to dig into these four chapters over the next four Sundays, and we're going to look at the book of Ruth in depth as it pertains to Advent and the Christmas story. And so I've asked different people to come and help read this coming weeks. And so our first Bible reader this morning is Rick Harmelink. If you'd come forward, Rick. And then also we have some Heidelberg question and answer question that I want to bring to you as well. And Melissa Mosier, if you'd come up this morning as well. She's going to read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27. You decide to use your own Bible, Rick, or do you want to use the one? I'm going to let you use this mic right here, and Janice is going to turn that up. And just stand close to the mic so they can hear you. And listen to these words from Ruth chapter 1 this morning.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The two sons went to live, and the man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were from the Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Naomi's husband died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Milcaite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for 10 years, both Moab and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people for providing food for them, Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. When the two daughters-in-law she left in place when she was being lived and set out on a road that would take them back to the land of Judah. When Naomi said to her two daughters and son-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kisses them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if though there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and they gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is no more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone against me." At this, they wept again and often kissed the mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you will stay, I will stay. Your people will be your people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I die, and there I would be buried. May the Lord deal with me, but it ever so severely, and everything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women explained, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord was afflicted. Me, the Almighty, has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth and her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as a barley harvest was being.
Thanks, Rick.
Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day 10, question number 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand.
Thank you, Melissa, for reading that this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've spoken to us through your word this morning, the story of Ruth and Naomi and Oprah, and Lord, we pray that you speak to us through this message, and may these words be your words, Lord, and we pray that you empower us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you lead us through this message. And Lord, we pray that you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start out with a little story about a man by the name of Amos Fortune. If you were to go to the cemetery in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, you could read this following epitaph on his gravestone. And this is what it said: "Sacred to the memory of Amos Fortune, who was born free in Africa, a slave in America. He purchased liberty, professed Christianity, lived reputably, and died hopefully in November of 1901 at the age of 91. You've heard what I just read in that few sentences. Seems that Amos Fortune had many challenges to face and overcome in his life, from being free in the country, or the continent of Africa, to being a slave in the United States of America. You might think how unchristian that is, how unfortunate that is for such a man to undercome those types of circumstances in his life. In life, there are situations which appear totally and absolutely hopeless that you will come across. I guarantee those things will happen to you. There will be times when you think there's no way out. There will be times when you will think that there's no way that I will be able to get through this. Those will be thoughts that you will occur in your lifetime. Being discouraged is one of the greatest tools of the enemy, Satan, that will put before you in your life. He will want you to feel hopeless. He will want you to feel as if there is no hope left. And to be discouraged and to be defeated is totally what he's after in your life. To feel like there's no solution, to feel like there's no answer, to feel like this is never going to get better in life. Whether our challenges are greater or lesser than Amos's, Our hope comes from the same source, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you just a few questions this morning. Is there hope when hope is taken away? Hold on to that thought as you hear this message this morning. Here's the next question I lay before you. Is there hope when the situation is totally hopeless? When you can see there's no good way that this will ever turn out or work out in your life. Think back to our story this morning. After losing her husband Elimelech and her two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi finds herself in a desperate, hopeless situation. You and I might feel that same way in our own lives from time to time. I want to preach you something different today. In those situations, we have a great hope. Now, no doubt that many of us, from time to time, will feel hopeless. Maybe about things that are going on in our job, maybe about things that are going on in our families, or maybe in the world that we live in today. There will be times when you will feel totally hopeless about the situation you find yourself in. And it might even seem that there's no way out. You're trapped. I know what that feels like. I've been there myself in certain situations. I am sure that's what Naomi felt, losing her husband and two sons. Now, that happened over the course of about 10 years, by the way. That just didn't all happen within a few months of each other. But about 10 years, she'd lost her husband and her two sons in that time frame. So maybe you think your situation cannot change without a miracle. And maybe you don't have enough faith to even believe in a miracle today. But listen to this story that I'm going to share with you this morning. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout, "What's the score?" And the young boy who was sitting in the dugout said, 18-0, we're behind." And the man said, "Boy, I bet you feel hopeless about this situation." And the young boy stood up and he turned around and he looked at the man and he says, "No, because we haven't even been up to bat yet." You see, that boy never lost hope. He held on to hope in his life. And so some of you need to be reminded this morning that you are still in the game. God has not had the final word upon this earth. That is to come yet. And so when you've lost all hope and you just think this world is terrible and maybe life sucks right now and things are hard, you need to know that you are still in the game. You have not lost hope. You might have lost your focus. You might have lost your motivation and your drive. You might be depressed about a certain situation. But God has not had the final word. Amen to that? That is good news that we get to celebrate today. And that's where I want you to think about in this message today. There are glimmers of hope in this first chapter that are unreal. And if you don't point them out and you don't study that the word of God very closely, you will skip over all those glimmers of hope. Because when you read it, it's kind of a sad story. They move to Moab because of a drought. She gets there. She loses her husband. A few years later, she loses both of her sons. What good could come in this entire situation? But listen to what I'm going to share with you this morning about those glimmers of hope that are there. And we need to look at those. It's a time filled with great loss. It's a time filled with death and grief for those that are alive. But listen to what goes on here. But as hope fades, there's mention of a barley harvest. How many of you caught that at the very end in 1 verse 22? Naomi and Ruth, they return to Bethlehem. And on the end, the very last two words, the barley harvest is beginning. Think about that for a moment. You know, God takes them from a hopeless situation in Moab. He brings them to the city of Bethlehem. And let me pull this up on the screen here just a little bit. And he knows and they see that the barley harvest is beginning. Some of you come from an agricultural background. A lot of you do. You're connected to the farm. When you get into harvest, you have great hope, don't you? You have great hope of a good crop, of a bountiful blessing that God will provide in great ways, and you begin to harvest. Now, you've done a lot of work to get there. You've prepared the soil, you've fertilized, you so and so, you get equipment ready to go. But there's great anticipation, knowing that God's going to bless you with a crop. Now, some years are better than others, but God always provides. And here we see this mention of a barley harvest, which gives them great hope. If you think about it, this is where they ate from. This would carry them through the next year in their lives. And so we see this glimmer of hope right at the end of Ruth chapter 1. The problem is too often you and I, we focus on the problems only. We look at all the negative stuff that goes on in our lives, and we forget to see how God is working and how he's blessing in those situations, because we're too caught up on the bad stuff that we miss out on the good stuff in life. And so you see this glimmer of hope through the barley harvest. You'll also find in life that you will go through desert experiences. There will be highs in life when you're blessed and things are going well. And then there will be times in your life when things will be at a low. That's pretty normal for a Christian's life. For anybody that lives in this world, you're going to have highs and lows in your life. So even when you think that you've lost all hope, hope still remains in Jesus Christ. The barley harvest is a season of blessing for Naomi and Ruth. In our spiritual lives, I want you to think deeply here with me this morning. We have not come to the harvest yet, spiritually. The spiritual harvest will take place when Jesus returns to gather his people, and you will see an abundance of blessing, one of them being eternal life with God Almighty in heaven, with those that have gone on before us. That's a great blessing. That will be a great harvest to look forward to someday in our lives. Let me share with you another glimmer of hope. They returned from Moab to Bethlehem. Now, I got a map up here this morning, and it might be a little bit hard for you to read, but most of you might think this is a long, long ways, but it's not as far as you think. If you see your map up there, you'll see the country of Judah, and that's where Bethlehem is at, just above that big word of Judah. And if you follow around the north side of the Dead Sea and you come back around, you'll see on the bottom there the country of Moab, and that's where Ruth and Naomi Naomi's husband and sons, that's where they lived when they originally left Bethlehem because there was such a drought. They went to the other side of the Dead Sea. If you were to travel that on foot, it's probably around 90 to 100 miles from Bethlehem around to the country of Moab where they had lived. Now, Moab was a season of great pain, of great loss for Naomi and Ruth. But notice that Bethlehem means house of bread. There's significance there. That's where God cares for his people. The whole thing about this city, which points to Jesus' birth too, by the way, house of bread, that you'll be fed not only physically, but also spiritually in your lives. This gives us a picture of God's provision in our lives. Now, we read from the Heidelberg Catechism, and we understand and we believe in the Reformed Church, and most biblical churches believe that everything happens for a reason and God's in control of all of those things. Now, some are bad things that God allows to happen. And we know that's from the sinfulness that we live in the world. It's fallen from Adam and Eve and so on. And God does not intend for you to get cancer. God does not intend for people to die. But it's the result of the sinful world we live in. But God still provides. He still blesses. And he still gives us a way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we have this town of Bethlehem that they're returned to. And so I want you to think about what Ruth and Naomi are going through in their lives. When you lose hope, when we lose hope, for whatever the circumstance we find ourselves in, maybe this Advent season things aren't so good for you, do what Naomi and Ruth did. They returned to God. They returned to Bethlehem, the house of bread, to be filled not only physically, but also spiritually. as they went back to worship God the Father. You need to do the same thing. If you found yourself in a hopeless situation, return to God. Share with him where you're at. Pray to him for your hopeless situation and let him begin the work in you that he wants to do. Do that. Another interesting thing we have here, Ruth wouldn't leave Naomi. She clung to her side. We read that in Scripture today. This is a picture of how we go through life. Think about what Jesus has done for his people. He sent the Holy Spirit to walk with you every day throughout your life. The Holy Spirit clings to you in Scripture. He's your guide. He's your counselor. He's the one that convicts when you might run into sin or maybe difficult situations. He'll give you wisdom when you ask for it. He'll give you words to speak when you don't know what to say. We get this great picture of Naomi and Ruth clinging to Naomi. And it's just like you walking through this world. Jesus clings to you. Jesus clings to me when we call upon his name. So if your spiritual tank is empty this Advent season, cling to Jesus. Go to him. Pray to him. Now here's even a deeper subject I want to talk to you about. I believe that there's another message here that we need to understand, a deeper metaphor. Moab represents a broken life. A broken world, sin-ridden, death, grief, pain, suffering, while Bethlehem represents what the future holds as we look to heaven. It's a place of hope. It's a place of blessing. And so the promise of blessing, the promise of eternal life, a world without sin awaits us. And so we need to grasp that as well. So when you become hopeless in this broken world, you need to realize that this is not your home. God has another plan for you. And that's to live someday eternally with him in heaven. That's the hope that we hold on to. So hold on to that hope. There will be a day that will be filled without sin someday. And I look forward to that. And I hope you do as well. There's another glimmer of hope that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's found in Ruth 1, verse 6. And here's what it says. She had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. If you read the NIV version, it does not say that. But the ESV version, and after looking at this and stuff this past week through the Hebrew Bible, it said that the Lord visited. That's so key that we understand that. Because there's times in our life that the Lord has visited this earth in other ways as well. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But what hope there must have been for the people of Bethlehem, because there was a drought there, remember, and Naomi and Elimelech and their sons left. And they went to Moab because there was no food. While in the fields of Moab, Naomi hears this, by the way, some 90 to 100 miles away, word got around that God visited his people. How much hope that must have brought. So now go with me another 1,000 years. When did God visit his people again? And I hope you get this right because we're in that season. Who was it? Jesus Christ visited his people again. And that's the hope that we live for. What hope that God has brought us? Hope of eternal life. Hope of blessings here upon this earth when you might think things are terrible and hopeless. God visited his people once again. That's great news. That's under the Bethlehem star. You got to realize that this whole story of Ruth, which is a foretaste of what's to come in the birth of Jesus Christ, under that star in Bethlehem, this whole story took place. The hope that we have. The one who came to redeem us of our sins. In Ruth chapter 1, God provides great hope if we look. He does the same for you and I today. There is great hope in the world that we live in. He's provided you with a Savior that has promised to walk with you every day of your life, through the good and through the bad. When life seems hopeless, have hope in the Lord. May he be your anchor when the storms of life approach and they hit. May he be your counselor when you need direction in your life. May he be the one that you turn to when there's no one left. May he be your oasis in the desert. May he just bless you. May he give you hope this day. Even when the situation you find yourself in is hopeless, remember there's always, always hope in Jesus Christ. Go back to the life of Amos Fortune. He was once free, became slave. With everything he had gone through in life, he still hung on to hope in his life. Matthew 12, verse 21 says this, "In his name, the nations will put their hope." That's you and I. We are the nation of God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Have hope in Jesus this Christmas season. Be blessed because he has set you free. And all of God's people said,